Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. And welcome to a live edition of Hip Hop Save My Life. I'm the host, Ramesh Ranganathan. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by broadcasting legend.
Oh,
yeah? Is that the official?
That's what I was told to say. Who's coming? I've got a seat next to me this ending.
That's nobody wanted to do it with you. Edith Bowman, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you very much. Thank you so much for asking me to do this.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We're getting some really high profile guests.
And then you have me.
Yeah,
in
so
the
it's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're hoping you're sort of going to give us that level of cachet. Do you know what I mean? So thanks for coming on.
Pleasure. See what you do.
I've got a hip-hop story that connects us, actually.
Okay.
It's a bit sad.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you it.
Please.
I was listening to you, your radio show, and you said, have you got any stories of any live gigs you've been to recently? And I text in.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on that day.
Yeah.
Like I would not normally do that.
Thanks.
But no, but I wouldn't know. What I mean is that the show was great, Edith, but I didn't want to. I'm not an interactor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I thought on this day you reached out to me and I felt like you were talking to me as an individual.
Yeah.
So I texted you to say I've been to see The Roots in concert this weekend.
Yeah.
I think mainly it's to tell people that you've gone to a gig, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's not. I didn't enjoy the gig. I was just sort of thinking, I can't wait to tell people.
Out.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell people that I've been to this gig. Do you know what I mean? And you read it out.
Did I?
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
It was a long time ago. I'll tell you how I know it was a long time ago, because I didn't even give my real name. I gave my hip-hop name Ranger.
Do you know what mine is?
Go on.
Jay-Z Edith.
Oh, that is much better than mine. I did have an unfortunate... Well, I stopped doing Ranger when I was texting and stuff, because once I texted into a sports show and had an opinion on Arsenal's constant changing of their kits.
Yeah.
And the host read my name as Ranger. And I just felt it's not as cool. You are into hip-hop, Edith, right?
I am. A huge hip-hop fan, but it's been streamed through my love of music, really, from quite an early age.
Right.
I remember kind of going to clubs before I should have been.
Yeah. It's a safe space here, don't worry.
Can I hold someone's hand?
Yeah.
It's quite funny. I remember being like 15 and going to clubs and not getting into one and just going to the next one and trying that one and getting in.
Yeah.
My friend Susie, who went out with a guy who was a little bit older than her, he used to DJ at a club called The Kronk in Dunfermline. And we'd kind of go and... He played a lot of De La Soul when 3 Feet High and Rising was just coming out. And I went through four cassettes of that particular album, because I listened to it so much. And it's one of those albums that I gave to people going, if you haven't heard this, you need to hear it. And I really annoy my producer, Mick, on my radio show whenever we play anything from that album, because I like recite. I'm one of those weird people with lyrics where if it's playing, I can sing along to it every word. But if you ask me to recite the lyrics now, I'd be like that. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'd find both of those things annoying. If you decided to recite while the song was playing, or if you decided to just do it impromptu, I would find both those things unacceptable. I'm just saying. The reason I'm saying that is I think that's part of the problem of going to hip-hop gigs, is that, like, my friends and I used to go out to hip-hop nights, and I say my friends, there's only a small group of us that are into it, and everyone else is into whatever they're into, and so we go to hip-hop gigs. First of all, no danger of ever... My mum used to say, I don't want you getting a girlfriend. No danger of that at hip-hop night, because there's no women there at all, right? And we wouldn't dance. We would nod our heads and just rap. It was like a terrible shit karaoke thing.
Yeah.
It was really dreadful.
I remember going to see... 8 Mile at the cinema, and I went three times to see it at the cinema, and the second and third time I went along, I printed out the lyrics to Lose Yourself and sat whilst the credits rolled to sing along to it word for word. What a loser.
Yeah, and what a way to ruin that film for everyone else in the theatre. It's really interesting, isn't it? You know that 8 Mile? I don't know if you've seen, like, there is a... Because, you know, there's the bit where he's battling everyone. Because he's battling this crew, Papa Doc and, like, the whole crew and everything, right?
Yeah.
And they have this bit where he's working his way up through the battles and you see all these different MCs. So at the time when they were filming that, they got loads of, like, local MCs, Detroit MCs to come and, like, they wanted to do montages of, like, him battling different people.
Yeah.
And there's this amazing clip on YouTube where basically Eminem wasn't really rapping because, like, they wanted to save his voice for the actual thing.
Aww.
So these people are coming up and... Well, it was... hold on, Edith. It's a long time.
Aww,
that he was doing...
No,
I'm not having that. All right, anyway, so he was not talking and he was just doing it silently. I mean... One of the MCs that came up actually went for him,
yeah.
And then he went, hold on, let me just click this on, and then just absolutely destroyed him. It's so
amazing.
Good. Just to
go
see someone,
yeah.
Their rap career probably ended, like, straight away. Do you know what I mean? The
literally,
dreams crushed.
Yeah. Like the Wicked Witch in the Wizard of Oz, like melting into the floor.
How did it go today? I met Eminem. Oh, that sounds good. any opportunity come for it? No, he crushed me in front of the whole audience, so I don't think I'm ever going to rap again.
I fell asleep at an Eminem concert once, standing up.
you seem to think you're on Hip Hop Ruined My Life.
Well, it probably saved my life. I got a little nap in.
What
the
happened?
Rest of the night. It was when I was at MTV and Zane Lowe and I had been working, and there was this secret Eminem gig that was happening after the awards, the MTV Europe Music Awards had happened, and.
How do you find out if it's a secret?
Well, this is
gig?
The thing. If anyone's going to know about it and where it is, Zane should be, you know, the one to know and have, like, a helicopter to take him there. He didn't at that time. And so we ended up walking. It was in Barcelona, and I don't know if anybody's been to Barcelona, but it was in where the, like, Olympic Village was, that was built up on this hill, and the gig was, like, right down the bottom. And we ended up walking. It was a long way. So by the time I got to the, I think it's called the Razzmatazz, the club, I was exhausted and just found a little pillar, just leaned against it and just had a quick disco nap whilst him and D12 were giving it licks.
I think if I'd have been at that gig and I'd have seen you do that, I would have just thought, thank God she's not rapping along. Okay, well, listen, I've got an announcement here, Edith. Hip Hop Save My Life is joining the Rebellion Against Cancer. We are teaming up with the Stand Up To Cancer campaign to raise funds for life-saving translational research. You can do whatever you want to join in. Munch chilies, take an obstacle course, shave yourself a mohawk. Have you done anything like that for...
No mohawks or chilies. I did... I did this thing for Comic Relief Does Fame Academy, where I went in and did that for a week, which was... scary and bonkers but brilliant, but we had to do thankfully they didn't give me a hip hop song because I would have not only embarrassed myself but
embarrassed hip hop
lost money for the charity. Yeah.
Can you imagine if people were texting in to take money back?
Give me back my money.
Yeah.
Don't ever let her near a hip hop song ever again. But that was brilliant fun. But that's the kind of thing that I like that Stand Up To Cancer is doing as a charity, and that they're kind of bringing, you know, trying to get everybody on board to do it together rather than it just being about one person doing a sort of sponsored silence.
Yeah, I think doing stuff together is good, because if somebody does it on their own, I get annoyed when I hear about it. Whereas if you're doing something, what I mean by that is, I mean, that person thinks they're better than me. So what's
no? You're just lazy.
Yeah, well, that is true, but I don't want my laziness reflected back in my face. Do you know what I mean? So what's quite good about this is actually doing something fun. It's actually good. You can join the rebellion at standuptocancer.org.uk, or you can text audio to 7040 to donate £5 right now. That's audio to 7040. And if you want to hear more about the research being funded, Stand Up To Cancer's launched its own podcast, which is well worth checking out. Text, of course, one standard rate message plus your donation, 16 and over only, and you must have the bill payer's permission. Closes 31st of March 2017. T&Cs applies. 100% of your donation will go to Cancer Research UK in support of the Stand Up To Cancer campaign. Stand Up To Cancer and Stand Up To Cancer brand marks are registered trademarks or trademarks of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Cancer Research UK is a registered charity in England and Wales, Scotland and the Isle of Man. And thank you so much.
That is itself deserves a fiver from
now,
everyone.
Now, listen, I think you will agree that I absolutely smashed that. And
could you rap it now?
Well, I mean, it sounded like I was starting to rap it. So, Edith, have you been to many live hip-hop gigs? I know you talked about falling asleep at Eminem, but...
Not loads, actually. At festivals and stuff, I have. But one of the main hip-hop gigs I remember being at was the SCCC in Glasgow. It was huge. Beastie mm-hmm. Boys.
Amazing. Phenomenal. I went to see them at Wembley. So what was it like?
Phenomenal.
Was it phenomenal. Were they in the round?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I went to that
just
tour.
For the SCCC is like a sort of Wembley Arena sort of size venue. It's huge.
Yeah.
And for those venues and those performances to feel intimate is really difficult. But it was just... It was kind of imperfect, and it was beautiful, and it was fun, and it was just... It was like nothing else I'd ever seen at that point. I think I must have been about 19 at the time, and first time I'd ever been to a show like that as well.
Yeah. My first hip-hop gig was... it wasn't the SCCC, it was at Crawley Leisure Centre. It was Salt and Pepper.
So you're
spoiled. It was Salt and Pepper. I am spoiled. Yeah, Salt and Pepper, supported by Subsonic 2.
Oh, my God.
Who are, like, Bristol... I think they're Bristol. I think they're from Bristol, Subsonic 2.
Who's Salt and Pepper? Yeah.
No, Salt and Pepper. Well, I think Pepper's from Bristol. Salt's from just near outside of Manchester. But they were good. I'll tell you what, I was a kid when I went to watch them. And I remember thinking Push It was the dirtiest song I'd ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I was properly like giggling. I wasn't giggling. I was like... laughing in a hip-hop way, but I remember being excited by it. Do you know what I mean? The thing I think about hip-hop is, it's interesting you mention festivals, right? Because you end up doing festivals as a comedian, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time, I'll be honest with you, I find festivals unacceptable in terms of the accommodation and the toilet situation. So normally what I do is I will arrive 2.5 minutes before I'm due to go on stage and I will leave 30 seconds after I've finished. But occasionally, when I have wandered around, I've got into a band... And not a hip hop, like of somebody I didn't, you know, like the Maccabees. I went to Latitude and the Maccabees are there, right?
Amazing.
And like they were just on and I got into them.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I say that is I think that hip hop doesn't do enough doesn't do enough work on its live aspect of it. I think there's
definitely.
So many great albums, but I just think I'm trying to get my wife into hip hop. She won't convert.
Does she like festivals?
I've said to her, if you want to marry into this culture, you need to get into hip hop. And she won't do it. And part of the reason is because if you don't know the songs, they don't bother to sound check. They don't bother to, you know, lot of the time. The ones that are great, like De La Soul and The Roots and people like that, it's great. But a lot of them don't bother. And I think they're sort of ignoring that side of things, that seeing someone live, you might fall in love with a band that you hadn't even thought that you'd listened to previously.
I remember seeing Snoop Dogg at Glastonbury on the main stage and the Pyramid stage on, I think it was like Saturday afternoon, and it was beautiful sunshine, and he had this kind of amazing microphone that was kind of had like a built-in like knuckle duster golden crusted kind of a diamond.
Just breaking any stereotypes on that. That's
and, but he looked, he is a caricature, and he's brilliant, and he's, you know, what weirdly, on my podcast, we spoke to Todd Phillips, the director who did Old School, that featured Snoop Dogg and also Starsky and Hutch. And he said that it was two different people. He hired Snoop Dogg for Starsky and Hutch, but he hired, what's Snoop's real name?
Calvin.
He hired Calvin to play Huggy Bear. In Starsky and Hutch. So there was two different experiences for him as a director in terms of what he had to deal with and stuff.
So you're saying Snoop Dogg is actually a pair of twins? Or is it...
I had
absolutely no idea. I always find the real names of rappers really disappointing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like Public Enemy, DJ. The original DJ is called Terminator X, right?
Yeah.
What an amazing name.
Yeah.
Real name, Norman Rogers. Right? Flavor Flav. Great name.
Yeah.
Where's a clock? Real name, William Drayton. Right?
Marshall Mathers.
Yeah, Marshall. Yeah, exactly.
Third.
Chuck D. Carlton Ridenhour. I mean, what is going on, mate?
Sure is one of De La Soul's called Dave. Is he not?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Derek. It's mad. I would like. I mean, there are some rap groups that do. I just think just do your real name.
Why not? Yeah, definitely.
Right.
But we did the Jay Zeta thing. Came from us, Colin and I, doing a.
His real name, Jay Z. Sharon.
Shut up.
No, I'm joking.
No, it's not. I can't remember what it is now, yeah. We did it on the show. We got our listeners to come up with our hip-hop names. So
right.
Colin was C-Unit.
C-Unit,
see what
yeah,
you did
sense.
There?
Yeah.
And I was Jay Zedith.
when I first heard NWA straight out of Compton, that album, I decided I wanted to like form a rap group, right? And it was called First Conviction. And I was trying to think of a name that I'd be as a rapper. And I thought, well, I really like Ice Cube from NWA. So I decided on Ice Tray, right? Because I thought...
I'm bigger than that.
That's almost... Like, that sort of suggests that Ice Cube was influenced by me. Do you know what I mean? Because without Ice Tray, there'd be no Ice Cube. Do you know what I mean?
I introduced... My kids have started really getting into music. I've got two boys. They're 3 and 8. And so they hear things in film and TV that influence them. And I can't remember what it was, but they had KRS-One Sound of the Police was on recently. That's the sound that I mean. Oh, my God. We've had that on 5-6 times a day in the, over the past like couple of weeks. It's like, it's hilarious seeing kids respond to songs like that, but it's really hard to try and find clean versions of a lot of it.
Listen,
holy, it's a great way to introduce your kids to swearing, but bloody
well,
hell.
I'm not against my kids swearing, that's the thing. It's because my wife is not letting me play them hip hop. It's an ongoing thing with this podcast that I've asking listeners to send in suggestions for songs that I can play to my kids.
KRS-One, Sound of the Police.
But I don't want them, because for those of you that don't know Sound of the Police in the audience, it goes whoop whoop, that's the sound of the police, whoop whoop, that's the sound of the bass. And I think if
then
my kids started singing that, I'm probably going to get arrested at some point. Yeah, and it will be whoop whoop, the sound of the police, because daddy's beating the crap out of his kids for not stopping singing that song, basically. I think that's the situation. But I am trying to convert my kids to hip hop. But I'm not against my kids swearing. I think it's funny.
You know, I do too. But it's funnier when they don't mean it.
Exactly.
Like if they're saying, like, my nephew, can we, are we allowed to swear on this?
Yeah.
So my nephew,
it's all I've got.
And used to say, he couldn't say the fat controller, he'd call him the fucking troller.
Right.
Which was absolutely brilliant.
He's a fucking troller though, isn't he? He's always telling Thomas what to do. Why don't you shut up, you fat prick? Maybe Thomas wants a day off, you arsehole. Just every day, we've got loads of passengers. Fuck off, mate. Just want to chill out. Sit on the side railings, have a cup of tea, you prick. You wander out here telling me to piss off around the island. What are you doing? Sitting in your fucking office drinking tea. Arsehole. That's what I want to see happen. That's what I want to see in a Thomas episode. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or the fat controller breaking into hip hop.
Yeah. Or Thomas just runs over the prick. Do you know what I mean? There you go. There's Sodor's going to look after itself, fucking controller. Edith, we are sadly we're running out of time, man. Have you got anything to plug? Well, you do your own podcast. You want to give that a shout out?
So we are week ten, I think, of soundtracking, which I'm loving doing. It's been so much fun so far, and we've already kind of done the next 6 or so episodes with some really brilliant directors, and I'm particularly excited because tomorrow I get to chat to Ron Howard, so he's going to be a future subject for the podcast. Hans Zimmer said he'll do it. Yes! That's going to be a month's worth.
Listen, I don't want... Look, people in here, don't start applauding shit on other podcasts. I don't mind getting a plug.
You asked
me. But don't start getting more excited than what's happened here. I created 2 minutes ago of a Thomas the Tank freestyle, so why don't you just chill out, all right? Anyway. Sorry, carry on, Edith.
It's fine. We do it every week. And it's a sort of celebration of the love of filmmakers have with music. That's annoying.
Yeah, that is not
my
ideal. Sorry, Edith has shut down, guys. I'm really sorry.
it's my love of film and music, and I get to sit and chat to filmmakers about the relationship they have with music. And we've done everyone so far from David Ayer to Ben Wheatley. Andrea Arnold's going out this Friday, so... We want to kind of open up as well to screenwriters, actors, producers and stuff as well.
What about comedians that want to be in film?
Potentially.
Okay, cool.
You could start that one off for us.
All right,
if you
cool.
want
Give me
to.
The call.
Definitely.
Edith, it's been an absolute
thank
delight
you,
to have you on.
Ladies
and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Hip Hop Saved My Life.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.